Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Metalla Royalty and Streaming, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MTA, also on the NYSE under the symbol MTA. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Brent Heath. Now, Brent, there's been a lot that's happened since the last time we chatted. We chatted about 2 months ago, and the company has gone through, three property or asset transactions, adding to the royalty portfolio. We're going to cover all of these transactions and try to take a step back and talk big picture for the company. First things first, though, let's start going through these transactions released on October 22nd. Metalla acquires royalties on the Minera Alamos La Fortuna project. This project is in Durango State in Mexico. Total consideration for this deal is about $1 million. Brett, please share with us what attracted you to this transaction.
Thanks, Corey, and thanks for having me on again. Minera Alamos is La Fortuna project, just a great high-grade mine that we think will eventually get built either by Minera Alamos or maybe a partner. The all-in sustaining cash costs on this asset was, just under $500. So very, very profitable at today's prices. This was a deal that was part of the Alamos Gold transaction that we structured a couple years back. And with this asset, we structured an option on it. And we decided to exercise that option at this time. And we completed that transaction. And it was a great little tuck in here for the company to get, a bigger footprint in Mexico and another, short-term development project here in the future.
Well, I think our audience knows Minera Alamos quite well and the overall strategy of the company to bring into production a number of their assets. So we'll follow along with that. I'll probably even have the president and CEO of Minera Alamos, Doug Ramshaw, on the show in the next few weeks. Brett, let's also talk about a development on another royalty, this Wasmac and Camflow royalty. Yamana just took over Monarch Gold, who owned these projects. These projects are in a very attractive jurisdiction in Canada along this whole Malarctic trend. Can you take us through the developments, what it means now to have Yamana in charge of these projects?
Yes, Corey, this was actually very big news for the company. We had a change in our owner and our counterparty on this asset from Monarch Gold, which Monarch Gold did a phenomenal job pushing the project forward as a junior, doing what they could to continue to advance it and really bring the project and put it in the spotlight in order to attract a major to come in like Yamana and acquire it. But it's a big deal for Metalla because this was an asset that, we had a theory. And not just this, we've bought others in the portfolio that are similar, but we had a theory that these 2+ million ounce deposits with a clear path to be permitted and put in production in good jurisdictions with good infrastructure are going to be very hot commodities in this next cycle. And now as we're moving into this next cycle, these majors, they are looking to replace reserves. They're looking to replace reserves in their own backyard, in jurisdictions that they're comfortable operating in, and the Wasmac acquisition is just a big value add because now the project sits with a company like Yamana. They operate a joint venture of the Canadian Malartic mine just down the road, which is the largest mine in Canada with Agnico Eagle. And they've got the skill sets, they've got the balance sheet, they've got everything that they need in order to advance this project and put it in production. So what it does for Metalla is it makes it much, much more real. And it also significantly reduces the expected timeline to production. And we've got a 1.5% royalty on what's inevitably we think will be, a 200+ thousand ounce producer. So, fantastic asset in one of the world's best jurisdictions and best operators.
Brett, do you have any idea of how what the time frame is then for Yamana when it comes to these two projects? Because as you outlined, they are running the at least 50-50 joint venture of the Canadian Malartic mine, so they have success in the area. But how quickly do you know are they planning on moving this into production?
Well, based on the public disclosure from Monarch Gold, we believe that Yamana can obtain permits on Wasamac within about 12 months. And once permits are held, then they can make a construction decision. Our thesis on this is that they're probably going to want to do a little bit more technical work, just because a company like Yamana often has different ideas in order to as they bring this asset into production with a higher production rate, more ounces than kind of what was originally anticipated in the previous technical report. So we think they're going to be working on that. They're going to be working on the permitting. I think we'll see news probably within the next 12 months from now on some pretty material advancements with the Wasamac mine. And the other thing to keep an eye on is also this Camflow royalty. It was very interesting to us when we saw Yamana pick up out of the whole company, which had several different projects and assets, look at the Wasamac and then pick up the Camflow royalties by itself. And when we looked at it and we took a deeper look, we noticed that Camflow, is awful close to the Canadian Malartic mine. And so they're going to be doing some drilling. And that is another one to keep an eye on, because, Yamana as the joint venture operator obviously has the best information in that area.
Hey, fair enough. Brett, let's also talk about another deal announced November 4th, where the company is acquiring a portfolio of royalties in Nevada, 11 in total. Total consideration, a little over $4 million in cash and shares. When you and I were chatting off mic, you were outlining where some of these royalties were in terms of some of the big trends in Nevada. So you have the Carlin trend, the Cortez trend, the Independence trend. You're covering all of these trends with that deal, correct?
That's correct, Corey. So we have, through this portfolio acquisition, picked up a little over 2,100 square kilometers in highly prospective ground, whether it's exploration or development, in these three material trends. In the Cortez, Carlin, and Independence trend, those are the most well-known trends in Nevada. Out of those three trends, comes probably 90-95% of the gold that's ever produced within Nevada. So this is, we are very happy to get this portfolio. Nevada is an incredibly difficult place to pick up good royalties, because it's just been ground zero for the royalty business. It's obviously a very attractive place for mining companies to be, not only from a jurisdictional perspective, but they just have the geology there where these monster 20, 30, 40 plus million deposits have been found and have been mined, as we've seen in Cortez. One of the highlights in the portfolio is a royalty that we picked up, actually continuous and slightly overlapping, a royalty that we picked up earlier this year through the IRC transaction, which gave us 190 square kilometers of coverage on the Cortez trend and to the southeast extension of Cortez as well. And this royalty on Pine Valley that we picked up is a 3% NSR. It covers and overlaps the portion of the Anglo-Zeke royalty that we have on Gold Rush South, and gives us not only more continuous coverage and a bigger footprint on Cortez, but what it looks like to us is that any extension to Gold Rush South, which we do think that there will be an extension to Gold Rush South as they drill that out over the next couple of years, our royalty rate on that goes from 0.5% potentially up to 3.5%. So significant increase on any potential Gold Rush South in regards to coverage. And it also, like I said, expands our footprint within Cortez. Cortez, as a lot of your listeners probably also know that it's been one of the most prosperous places in the world for big gold mines. And we are sitting right underneath what I think is going to be probably one of the largest gold mines in the world here in the next 4 or 5 years. And I'm talking about Gold Rush and Four Mile. They've made another discovery. We think that's probably one big mine. That's one big system. And we see that going, they already have between the two deposits, over 20 million ounces, and we see that going a lot higher. So to get this footprint, to put our shareholders in position in front of the drilling that we're going to be expecting on Gold Rush South and also on the Anglo Z claims from the acquisition that we did earlier this year, is a very attractive place, I think, for them to be sitting here for 2021.
Brett, one thing that I'm noticing out of these three deals in particular, they're both significant deals, or they're all significant deals, and they're all in different jurisdictions, Mexico, Nevada, and up in Canada. Is this part of the strategy? You keep on saying that you want to give your shareholders exposure to different areas. Is this just all part of that strategy then of finding jurisdictions that you like around large mines and then acquiring royalties in these different areas?
Yeah, well, part of the royalty business is giving your investors diversification within, from a jurisdictional perspective and also an operator perspective, but staying focused on the precious metals. And you never want to be weighted too heavily in any jurisdiction, even the good jurisdictions, top jurisdictions, Canada, US, Australia. It's great to be overweight in these jurisdictions just because they are places where, there is consistent rule of law, there is consistent property rights and ownership rights, and we're owning interests in the land in the form of a royalty. So it's important from a kind of security perspective that we are owning stuff in good jurisdictions, but we also are able to own stuff in lots of good jurisdictions. And so if you look at our property portfolio, which is now 62 royalties. So our investors are getting exposure to 62 royalties. That was through 20 transactions so far in just over 4 years. And that exposure, it allows investors to get such a better risk-adjusted, really, vehicle to play gold and silver. Because if one royalty, if there's an issue, mining is a very risky business, and we not only reduce that risk by having a lot of royalties, but we significantly reduce that risk further by having different jurisdictions, different counterparties, different mining companies, and having the best companies, the biggest mining companies with the best balance sheets and, the highest degree of kind of discipline for all kinds of standards. These are the types of assets that you want exposure to as an investor. And in Metalla, you get all of this exposure to the largest mining companies in some of their core properties all around the world. You get that optionality. You get the reserve growth as these companies spend hundreds of millions of dollars. We think at by the end of this year, it's likely that our counterparties and mining partners on these assets will have spent probably upwards of $300 million on our assets. That's free carried value for our shareholders. So it's just an amazing way to get exposure. I mean, we've had a very action-packed year this year, but we've done a lot of work here, legwork in the past to make sure that we can kind of continue on here.
Brett, how have you guys been able to complete so many transactions in such a short period of time, especially recently when ever since gold and silver really took off last year, but especially this year, and all the money that's been raised for juniors and the whole way up the ladder? I was hearing that a lot of companies just aren't as willing to offload non-core assets or make transactions on their core assets, but Metalla seems to be able to still push these deals through. How is that possible?
And so this all comes down to our core laser-focused strategy of acquiring royalties in the existing market. And what's important to understand from the investor perspective is that this is really an incredible model and strategy, because It's a very low risk way to lever into very high quality assets. And you're levering into these assets in the royalty structure, which gives you that non-dilutive perpetual interest to top line cash flow, which is an unbelievable way to have exposure to, various portfolio of assets. But the strategy that we built from the very beginning was based off a platform. And we've been able to not only go out and pick up the highest of the high quality assets that are in this existing market. And that's important because the existing market is not a dynamic market. Once these royalties are bought, they're gone. Same with the portfolios. And it's important to understand, the company that you're investing in, kind of what is their competitive edge. And we were able to, with a, I would say, very significant first mover advantage, come into this business in 2016. We were able to do all of that legwork that we needed to do in order to harvest now. And so we're harvesting these transactions that were really started on 1, 2, 3, sometimes 4 years ago. And we're continuing to harvest. We're in harvest phase from a pipeline perspective. And so that's when the investors want to own your stock, because we're all of this work, all of the work that we've done all the way up, proving our track record, continuing to do accretive transactions that are bilateral with very high quality assets through the last 4 years on the 20 deals. That gives us 20 great case studies. That gives us and allows these existing holders of these royalties to understand that, yes, they have confidence in our management. They have confidence in our business model. They have confidence in our portfolio, which is also very important. They have confidence in our ability to execute, and they have our confidence in a number of other things that provide benefits for them. And so that is how we're going to use and lever off as we continue to scale our business. And I think that 2021, 2022 are going to be even better times here on the horizon. And so we're very excited about it, but we're also very proud that we're able to, complete the 6 transactions that we did this year. We saw, best part about the royalty business is that sometimes you get these nice surprises with Yamana Gold buying Wasamac, with Sandfire coming in and buying Endeavor. These are top-notch, excellent counterparties that we believe are going to be able to provide a lot more value, to those assets and through that to our shareholders from the royalties that we own on them. So very excited for 2021 and 2022. Good time to be a Metallus shareholder.
All right. Well, Brett, I appreciate the time sharing these updates. I'm also going to post a link below this interview to the Metallus website and the summary news release page so everybody can read over all the news that's come out over the last 2 months and get fully up to speed on all of these deals. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Brett to address those. Brett, really appreciate your time today. Thank you, and have a great rest of your week.
Thanks.